This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
So imagine that you're God, way back before the beginning of time, way before there was anything, no planets, no stars, no universe, just an endless void. So what do you do if you're an all-powerful God? Well, if you're the God of Alan Lightman's fervid imagination, you become...
bored.
Right. That's Alan Lightman. And Alan, what does this God decide to do to relieve his boredom?
He creates the universe.
He creates the universe. Alan Lightman is a theoretical physicist who teaches humanities at MIT. He's also an author of several books, including Einstein's Dreams, and his new novel is called Mr. G. I love the idea of this all-powerful God inhabiting the void, just plain getting bored and needing to do something.
Yes, well, he's been sleeping for unmeasured eons. I could say a long time, but since time didn't exist, it's hard to say how long he's been sleeping. And of course, his aunt and uncle have been sleeping as well.
He has an uncle, Diva, and an aunt, Penelope, who are like a cranky old couple who advise him. Can you read a bit? I was going to ask you to read on page 43. This is early in the book where God has just finished creating time and space and the universe, which he calls Alum 104729. And he's deciding that the universe will contain living matter with intelligence, and he's talking about it with his uncle Diva and Aunt Penelope.
"Then we are agreed," said Uncle. "There will be animate matter with intelligence, and there will be an immortal soul in each living being, connecting it to you." "Wait a moment," I said. "Only we and the void can be immortal. Immortality does not exist. Nothing lasts forever in Alum 104729. I will consider a soul, but it cannot be immortal. It must follow the direction of time, like everything else. It must gradually decay and disintegrate. We cannot begin making exceptions to the rules here and there, helter-skelter, or we'll end up with chaos again. Maybe in the life of each creature, I will allow a brief recognition of something vast, a flash of me, a hint of the unchanging and infinite void."
He's trying to figure out the way people would connect with something beyond themselves, right?
Yeah. And his uncle is a very spiritual character and wants there to be an immortal soul. But Mr. G nixes that idea.
So one of the central themes in this book is the idea of this God. He sets everything up. He not only creates space, time, matter, and energy, but he also creates the physical laws. But that's it, right? Once things are set up, and he debates this about whether he should intervene, what does he decide?
Well, he decides not to intervene. And I'm still not completely clear why he made this decision. He's a being that is all-powerful, but he's not all-knowing. He can't foresee all of the consequences of his actions, which to me make him much more interesting. Mm. He's torn by some of the same struggles that we have. And in fact, a non-intervening God is the only kind of God that's consistent with science.
Tell me about that. You know, you've written outside of this book that you are an atheist. You've also written thoughtfully about how science and faith, belief in a supreme being, can be compatible. And and the model as presented in Mr. G is an example of how that can happen, right?
Yes, it is. In most earthly religions, the God is an intervening God. The God does perform miracles. But this God and Mr. G does not. There are many times after intelligent life arises, which has various ethical dilemmas, that Mr. G wants to intervene.
At one point in the book, there's a story about a poor family and a girl who is compelled to steal to help feed her family. And he struggles with whether
he
should somehow get involved with it.
Yes, he does. And he's very distressed by the suffering that seems to arise inevitably from intelligence. He wishes to relieve the suffering, but I think ultimately he decides that he might make things worse by intervening.
To me, it gets back to this point that you've already written about, because this is the way we can sort of make sense of the idea of having faith in a supreme being and living within the confines of science.
Yes.
Right?
This view of God is completely compatible with science. Science can never prove whether God exists or doesn't exist. It's beyond the realm of science. But if you have a God that intervenes, constantly performing miracles, that does contradict the underlying principles and imperatives of science. There are some scientists who do believe in a miracle-performing God, and somehow they're able to compartmentalize their brain in these two separate parts. But logically, that's a contradiction.
Does that mean that, in your view, that is science the only avenue to understanding?
Oh, absolutely not. We have the arts and we have the humanities, which give us different kinds of understanding. But there are many interesting questions that we know ahead of time don't have answers. Like, would we be happier if we lived to be a thousand years old? Or is it okay to kill someone in warfare?
Questions of morality.
Yeah. These are extremely important questions that really don't have answers. And so a subject like religion is going to come up when you look at the things that human beings are interested in the broadest sense. I mean, any of the arts, of course, are going to come up as well. You could say, why do human beings keep doing art? What function does art serve in our lives? It doesn't necessarily build buildings. It doesn't make new cell phones and new internet devices. So why do we do art?
It records the human experience,
I guess,
right?
I think that's a good answer.
Yeah. To get back to Mr. G, I wanted to just read the way it ends, or almost to the end. On the last page, the aunt and uncle are talking to Mr. G. What is essentially about the end of the universe, his uncle says, it was a beautiful thing. It had beauty and joy and sadness. It had all of that, I said. It had everything. Not everything, said aunt. It did not have immortality. No, it did not, said uncle, but I think maybe it did have a soul after all. It's gone now, I said. That is the nature of things, but I do miss it. It's sweet the way it ends. It's sort of sad, too. I mean, how did you feel as you wrote those final words?
There is a grand narrative to the book, which is the creation of the universe and the ultimate demise of the universe. And we do believe that the universe that we live in will, all of the stars will eventually burn out and the sky will be totally black and life will end. But the characters, especially Mr. G, are changed by the experience of creating the universe. He is changed by witnessing sadness and suffering. He also witnesses joy and happiness, of course. And there's a wistfulness about it. And then Aunt Penelope tells him that she'd like him to make another one.
There will be another one, said Diva, and another one after that. Maybe that's the sort of eternal hope that we're part of some process that will go on and on and on and on.
Yes, more universes to come, although maybe not in time to help us out much.
Well, Alan Lightman, it's a fascinating read, and thank you for coming in to talk about it. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Anthony.
That's Alan Lightman. His new novel is called Mr. G. And you can read an excerpt from Mr. G at radioboston.org.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.